see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon, the show that brings you the news and the truth about what's going on today in this world. Family, welcome on this Friday the 13th, who cares? Friday the 13th of March, 2015. My name is Thomas Gambo. I am here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., my broadcast, and the Bible studies I have is from 8 to 9, also Monday through Friday. And I keep it now within my own network, with the exception that up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, there's a network that plays my broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis on his own network, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler at highpointradio.net. He has sponsors that helps his program continue, his towers he has put up in the three states, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So if you live in those areas near where he is, you can find out from his website where those are and what sponsors are that you can use them. Or just contact him and give him some donations, something to keep him going, because for me, he just plays my broadcast and my radio show, Bible studies. Family, today I'm going to focus on the North American Union. The one that that Snoop says doesn't exist. That's false. Family, Snoop's is full of baloney. I cannot tell you legitimately who pays their bills, but my professional opinion would be CIA or the Council of Foreign Relations. They will tell you, like a lot of other syndicated reporters, if you will. They will tell you 80% truth to hook you, and then 20% of deception, redirection, to crook you. That's how it really works. Well, they say, and there's snoops when you look up the North American Union, that it's false. Well, we'll see about that today. And I wrote them a letter. This is the second, third letter I've written them about their baloney. That I don't know who's paying your bills, whether it's CIA or whether it's like Gloria Steinem. CIA pays her bills and the feminist movements were funded by the CIA, by Rockefellers, to destroy the country. It's all connected. Why destroy the country? Why change the education? Why the military has been targeted for the longest time? Why the suicides are being orchestrated? Why all this is happening leads us to a generation that they plan on accepting the North American Union. It's all designed for that. And the North American Union is just one of 10 in the world that 10 unions total to accept, be a part of the New World Order of the revived Holy Roman Empire of 10 heads, 7 horns. It's all going by the book, just as clear as I'm talking if you're listening. People at the highest level, they're not getting it. Your 4-star generals, you would think that they would in some way. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now. And then I got a message for them that I'll say came to me last night. And I got something to deliver to the so-called generals, colonels, congressmen, CEOs, whoever. I don't really care who. It all applies to you. I got a message for you. You're not going to like it. Count on it. I'm a positive thinking person. But family, there's times when you got to be realistic about what's going on. Sometimes an intelligence briefing for a battalion or a division that's going into a war is realistic. It talks about the enemy's capability, called intelligence estimate, if that's what they still call it. I've been out since 87. It's got to be realistic. And by the time that you have, as a G2 or S2, J2, whatever, doesn't matter, that you're going to give that briefing, you better have solutions. You better have already worked it out with the commanders to find out how you're going to solve the fact that you're carrying slingshots and the enemy's carrying M16s or AK-47s and all you have is slingshots. You better solve that problem before you get to the briefing. You get the point, that's a little extreme, of course. But you better know the enemy before you go to war. You better know the enemy before you go to court. You got to know what you're getting into before you get in the briar patch. Or you're going to come out all scratched up. Well, it's not always positive. The positive you turn into negatives, you turn into positives. To do that, you got to know what the negatives are. Because a negative, when it's a surprise, is a massive negative. It's a defeat. So you better turn it into a positive by increasing your abilities, your capability. And you can't do that unless you know what the enemy's got. So you got to be realistic, you see? Well, that's how I look at things, realistically. Not a lot of this rah, rah, rah kind of patriotic fervor. You got to find out what's really going on. Who's really behind the scenes. That's what I do. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I want to step out here, and we're going to talk about the North American Union. We'll encompass quite a bit of issues today that makes it up. It's almost a mulligan stew, if you will, made up of many kinds of ingredients. The bottom line is for us to accept, not, but for us to accept the North American Union as being a part of the world government. You know where it really starts? For them? In the first grade. Aiming toward the first grader to reach 21 years of age, and they've already changed his mindset to accept the international order. They started 5 years old. Worldwide. It's called school. Humanist school. Humanist. Every school we've been to in our country, in our history. Public school, universities, colleges, are all schools of humanism, Marxism, in the United States. Family, this is facts. Provable facts, not opinion whatsoever. Communitarianism, I'm not even going to go into that, is a very big part of it. You can look that up on your own. I'm not going to go into all that theory and whatever, because the theory goes out the window when a 7.6 round is coming towards your head. You're not worried about communitarianism, but when you're talking about it, as far as education goes, it's where we've been consumed by for our entire history. Education, religion, politics, communitarianism. Look it up. Right now, I deal with ground operations and what's coming in the future. Father in heaven, we call upon you today and dedicate this program, Lord. We ask you, for God, Father, that those that you hear, the hearts that cry out, to forgive the sins. Father, to those that are looking, Father, you, Holy Spirit, for divine appointments, to soften their hearts and lead them in the right path. Father, we come to you as your children, humble ourselves, and that in front of your throne, by our supernatural prayer. We ask you, Lord, in this prayer for your grace and mercy. We ask you, Lord, to protect us from all evil spirits. And Lord, we also ask you for the strength so we'll be able to fight against our own weaknesses. And strength to fight against the strength of the enemy through your supernatural power. Father, help us recognize the evil ways of temptation. Barriers in our prayers that we don't know is there, Lord, to convict us of those unforgiven thoughts that we've had. And Father, to make our minds and our hearts go strong in Jesus Christ. Sing us the Holy Spirit each day, Lord. As we put on the full armor of God, we ask you, Lord, we beg you for your wisdom, your patience to be put upon us, especially for those who are in difficult situations. We pray for Diana and her daughter. Lord, you know the situation there, and Sarah, we pray for her too. Father, all those we've prayed for in the past, we lift up to you. And Lord, we praise you, Father. We love you, and Father, we need you every day. There's no other desire, Lord, but help us to keep our minds straight and one-minded and focused on your will, not our own. And Father, we call upon you to send protecting angels to watch over our family members. Cover us in the blood of Jesus, Father, as we also expose the evil. And Father, to make our word spread out. That through divine appointments, the truth will be spread. Pray for our veterans. Father, to redirect those thoughts of suicide, to calm down, to destroy the technology, Lord, the technology that's causing these voices, to render null and void the effects of these vaccines, the psychotropic drugs, Father, because many don't even know about it. And divine appointments, Lord, through the families and friends to thwart any thought of suicide Lord, they'll find redemption and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Family, this program I have here is not a religious show. It's not a Christian show. It's not religious, not political. It is realistic. You say, well, you talk about God. Yes, because that's realistic. He's real. You talk about Jesus. You say prayers. Yes, because that is the weapon of which you have. And the only one that works, actually. You can't mix politics and religion. Really, who said so? Because that's what they do. They make sure you don't, so you cannot connect the dots. They make sure you don't bring together the reality of how they plan. Literally, around round tables with representatives of specific organizations that come together in one building, one round table, and they discuss how they're going to control our lives, and they have for generations. And they plan with their children to be taught the same. And they'll be the families later sitting around the same round table, maybe even the same chair. I don't joke. It's tight. Representatives that control the banking, the business, the military, all of them are controlled by the same group. Politics, education, media, religion, all the intelligence agencies working together, medicine, drug companies. Why would they do that? Because they're heading toward a one-world government made up of 10 unions, which a North American union is just one. Who are the organizations? We've talked many times about it. The Royal Institute of International Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, Club of Rome for depopulation. Oh, well, what? Depopulation. That's so politically correct. Club of Rome, depopulations, what we're really talking about is mass murder, literally. The members of the Club of Rome are nothing but mass murderers with a coat and tie and a NASCAR and world travelers. That's all they are. Alcatraz or prisons today don't have anything on these people that run free. I mean this literally. They are, in fact, in these organizations of different countries, including members from the United States, are, in fact, of every definition, literally, mass murderers that are allowed to run free. I'm not being dramatic about it. I'm telling you the actual truth. The Bilderberg Group, nothing but mass murderers, literally. United Nations at the highest level. The lower levels don't even have a clue what they're doing. They do their work, reports, submit them. They get little attaboys, rewards, and a vacation. Not knowing what they're doing with the reports, actually. Gorbachev Foundation. And then the Trilateral Commission, formed in 1973, to bring together the North American Union. Trilateral. Tri. Mexico. United States colony. That's us. And Canadian colony. That's Canada. They got to condition you to accept it. Right now, the baby boomer period, the millennials, sitting on the fence. But their children have been set up to accept it by values clarification training in schools. And they've worked on it specifically. Family. George Brock Chisholm Back in 1950s, the day that the year they started targeting the United States, this is a fact. This all sounds negative, but it's not. It's a way the New World Order will take place, and that will be their downfall when it starts to happen. Yeah, their success will be their undoing. And that is an absolute fact. But in the meantime, it's going to be a rocky road to get there. Brock Chisholm, George Brock Chisholm, in a speech given at the Conference of Education, now Sylmar, California, September 11th, no less, 1954, he said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. By doing that, starting in first grade, that's what they had planned doing, according to Chester Pierce, Dr. Harvard, talking to 2,000 teachers, he told them, at the age of 5, all children are mentally ill. He gave a speech to 2,000 teachers in 1973, about 20 years later. The 2,000 teachers, he about said the same thing. It's up to them teachers to prepare these sick children, unquote, to be international children of the future. To reduce, get them off of national patriotism and away from family traditions, away from religious dogmas. He just said the same thing, pretty much, in 1973 in Denver, Colorado, in a teacher's conference. I got the actual quote. I've read it before. Family, they've been working on this for a long time. But few parents of public education, this public school, preparing the children in the 1950s and 60s to accept the North American Union is the bottom line. And few parents of the Quad generation and even the baby boomer generation realize that one of the primary engineers of today's godless public school philosophy that started in 1917 with John Dewey was a God-hating, family-hating, immoral, sick-minded communist by the name of George Brock Chisholm, first head of the World Health Organization. And he laid the blame for war, human conflict, squarely at the feet of parents and Sunday school teachers who, quote, from the beginning, fed their children the poisonous certainties of the Bible. Quote, "Can we identify the reasons why we fight wars? Many of them are easy to list: prejudice, isolationism, the ability to emotionally and uncritically believe unreasonable things." Well, see, that's baloney, because all the wars are already set up before they ever happen. I'm laying the groundwork for the next 15, 20 minutes when I get into the North American Union. That's what I'm talking about right now, to let you know I'm heading that way. Quote, 1946, reestablishment of peacetime society, psychiatry, Dr. Brock Chisholm. Quote, "When the other infectious diseases were attacked by the preventative level, some martyrs had to be sacrificed to the cause of humanity because reactionary forces fought back. Ignorance, superstition, moral certainties, and resisted through anti-reform organizations, religious, political pressure groups, even political parties." None call it treason by John A. Stormer, unquote. Which leads up to what Brock Chisholm is referring to as a rare citizen who escapes indoctrination in the new social order. Those who do that in progressive schools, which we've all been through, literally. For the Bible-believing Christians who reject theologians who teach that socialism is a new kingdom of God on earth. The ideas and concepts they've changed through education and values clarification, they call it, to prepare the children for the future to accept the North American Union. who it's all designed for. It goes right back to it. That was one evil man, let me tell you what. He also said, the people who've taught to believe whatever they were told by their parents or teachers are the people who are the menace to the world, unquote. That was also said September 11th, 1954. Big year for that boy. Now, this has been parroted by many of our own leaders. All the way back to 1917, John Dewey. Education is very important for them because they deal with the adult that they've trained for 12 years of school. The North American Union. I may go forward and work backwards because if I told you exactly when it started, I'd lose a lot of you. You would not believe where this actually started. So I'm going to start now and work backwards and give you some dates and how it's been set up and so forth. To first of all, prove its existence and the importance, the National ID Card, National ID Act, to make everybody have same ID card. That's been defeated many times. There's other factions within the government that works against the New World Order. However, here's the trick to it. The ones working against the New World Order is working against the European New World Order, but they got the ones over here got their own agenda. Neither side are trustworthy whatsoever. And the side over here in America that think they're going to be the New World Order leaders are infiltrated heavily by the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars that work for the Vatican. You have so much backstabbing up in Washington, the Joint Chiefs, the military, CEOs, so much backstabbing, everybody walks around like a pincushion. So many smart people can be so stupid. It's just disgusting. Paid over $100,000 a year, I bet, just to be dumb. They got to be dumb. Something. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Why they've isolated themselves from the truth. That can't be proven. Part of it's fear, I suspect. And brainwashing since the day they were in school. Who knows why. But in the meantime, it is going by the book in the Bible perfectly. Now, let's talk some details. First of all, establish with credibility that the New World Order, that the North American Union, actually exists. Because they're trying to keep it hidden in the worst way. I'm not going to play the full tape here, the full tape. That ages me, don't it? The full recording. But Nancy Schaefer, a real, let's use the word American here, a real Christian, a real American who's actually a senator, was a senator of Georgia, would get things done, unlike those like Ron Paul and the other fakes and frauds who are secret society members, Boykin, all the rest of them that work for the Illuminati, work for the secret societies. It don't matter which side. If they're a secret society, they're a liar because they take an oath to lie. And those who don't believe it, I can give you the oath and read it over the air. I've done it many times. I'll do it anytime I want to. They're going to be exposed anyway by the Illuminati, and they will be executed by the Illuminati. I don't think they know that yet. They better pull their head out of their chicken coop, because that's exactly what's going to happen, is they will be executed. They don't know that yet, but it will happen. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. But in the meantime, they see them above you. Because they see a North American Union coming and a world government that they'll be a part of. They will not be a part of it. To establish the existence, first of all, I'll play a short clip of Nancy Schaefer's, let's see if I got this right here. Yeah, it's Nancy Schaefer, State Senator Nancy Schaefer, talks about Child Protective Service. But the beginning of it, she'll tell you right off the bat.
Our next speaker is Senator Nancy Schaefer. Nancy? Oh, there you are. Yes, Nancy is a longtime Eagle Forum member and leader. She has had an organization called Family Concerns, which was very effective all over the state of Georgia, and another one called Family Concerns Pregnancy Center. She has been in the Georgia State Senate for several terms and is a member of six Senate committees. Please welcome our good friend, Senator Nancy Schaefer.
Thank you, dear Phyllis, and thank you to all of you. I have served in the Georgia State Senate for 4 years. One of my greatest pleasures, other than my sonogram bill, was getting the resolution passed to stop the North American Union. However, for 4 years, I have been confronted with families struggling to remove their children from the clutches of Child Protective Services. I wrote a scathing report last year on the corruption in Child Protective Services, and an update, and copies are out on the table.
Now, usually I play the whole tape, the whole recording, when I talk about the children, how they've Child Protective Service kidnaps them, profiles them, and they shuffle many off to the CIA for services and use, as are used in the Pentagon, as are used in CIA for mind control, sodomy, and things you do not want to know about. I'm being very blunt, and this is very true. 750,000 children missing on the average every year. Accounted for around 200,000. Unaccounted for, 500,000 every year. So you can understand why Nancy Schaefer, going after Child Protective Service, the kidnappers, literally profiling certain ones that they know that won't be found, and the North American Union, of which I have a copy of the Senate bill, Senate Resolution 124, a resolution. Number one, urging the United States Congress to withdraw the United States from the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. That's the North American Union. Security and Prosperity Partnership. What a combination of words. SPP. Of North America. And from any bilateral or multilateral activity that seeks the economic merger of the United States and any other country for other purposes. Whereas George W. Bush announced the formation of the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America with the nations of Mexico and Canada on March 23, 2005. And whereas at a news conference on the same day, Presidente Bush said, so that the vision that you ask about in your question as to what kind of union might there be, I see one based upon free trade, NAFTA, of course. Well, Bob Clinton comes to my mind. And that would entail a commitment to markets, democracy, transparency, rule of law. And whereas the gradual evolution of the North American partnership into some kind of union, unquote, quote, or economic merger of the United States, Mexico, and Canada will be a direct threat to the Constitution, national independence of the United States, and would imply an eventual end to national borders within North America. And whereas on March 31st, 2006, President Bush at Cancun, Mexico, celebrated the first anniversary of the SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership, confirmed by a White House news release on the same day, and whereas this trilateral partnership to develop any kind of North American merger has never been presented to Congress as an agreement or treaty, has had virtually no congressional oversight. He goes on to talk about this. Superhighways. NAFTA highway. Now, there's also another part I want to play for you. After she started her activities, going after, tooth and nail, for Child Protective Service, resolution to Senate, I just read you 124, not long after.
On Fox 5, former State Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband Bruce were found dead today at their Habersham County home.
Fox 5's Justin Gray is here now with more. Justin?
Yeah, Russ, former State Senator Nancy Schaefer was well known for championing conservative causes. Tonight, GBI crime scene investigators are at her Northeast Georgia home. They're searching for clues that might tell them what led to the sudden and violent deaths of Ms. Schaefer and her husband.
And I ask that you please rise with me for a moment of silence.
The announcement was made around 7:30 this evening on the floor of the Georgia General Assembly. The bodies of former State Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband Bruce were found today at their Habersham County home. Investigators say both had been shot.
Preliminarily, it looks to be a murder-suicide. The GBI has six agents on the scene, two crime scene specialists. There will be a thorough investigation.
Punch 11.
Mrs. Schaefer was a former Atlanta mayoral candidate. She was also a two-term state senator who represented the 50th district, including all or parts of eight North Georgia counties. Mrs. Schaefer left the General Assembly after losing a North Georgia Republican runoff in 2008. She founded the nonprofit Family Concerns, Inc. in 1986. Schaefer was an opponent of abortion and gay marriage and fought for public display of the Ten Commandments. And in 1994, Mrs. Schaefer was the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. The 73-year-old was also a former first vice president of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Nancy Schaefer and her husband moved to Habersham County in North Georgia after living in Atlanta for 35 years. They were parents of five children, four sons and a daughter, Deidre.
All right. Thank you, Justin.
And that's kind of an interesting coincidence. They kind of decide, I heard several reports when I investigated, well, I researched it. He shot in the head. No. Shot in the chest. No. Shot in the head. Oh. Different reports reported different results. So, what think ye now? Coincidence? Hardly. Murder-suicide? Yeah, no way. Family, this is reality. It's not TV. It's reality what's going on today. And we're in the middle of it. And they're coming now because education has infiltrated into children, that's now adults, to be able to accept it. Now, as first establishing that from credibility, that a credible source, that the North American Union exists. With that said, and a little bit on the side, before I get to more details about the North American Union, I got a message for you generals out there. Colonels, I don't really care who you are. Two types. You have real and you have fake. You know, the real warriors, the generals and colonels who've served their country, or should I say colony, with honor, distinction, and dedication, made a difference in the lives of members of their units. You commanded and upheld the traditions of your service responsibility as you knew it to be that time. Then you retired and maybe still serving for your troops and country, who knows. Even though the wars were as always, bogus and pre-planned, as evidence confirms. The outcome already determined. We didn't know that in the military. It's always been that way. That's a fact. Tactics out of the window. They didn't know that. The vets didn't know it. People blame the vets for doing the fighting when the vets are doing it for the right reason. Whether you agree with the reason or not, everybody believes it's the right reason for freedom and all that sort of thing. They're not going over there to kill. Some of them people are, I know, but most of them are fighting because they do think they're doing the right thing for their families, their country, and all that. That's what we were taught. You're blaming the wrong people. The ones you got to blame is the secret societies that generals are members of. There is the distinction. And certainly it's not a distinction of a positive sense. It's a distinction means they're different. They're set aside. Now, getting down to it. The vets didn't know that this was a setup. But these generals, the ones that did it for the right reasons, whether you agree with war or not, it's in their minds they were doing the right reasons. You serve with honor a government that betrays its own citizens and a military at the highest level that's working against you as commanders also. And a State Department that works for the Vatican and the Illuminati against you, and that's proven over and over and over. There's no fixing it. Because you're so diverse. With the secret society as being a cancer within your own organizations and units and commanders. There's no fixing it because a military corps or otherwise, because of the infiltration and control that the forces have under the direction of not so honorable men and women of the Joint Chief of Staff who sold their soul to the devil and the Council of Foreign Relations of who they brief. And kowtow too. These are the other officers and enlisted of the high ranks. Have lost their honor no matter what they did before. They wasted their lives and the lives they lead a devil life. Lying to their families. Lying to their fellow Marines or Army or whatever service they're in. Two sides of a face. They betrayed God, country, and service. And the families even, living their double life, pretending to be, to follow God, pretending to be honorable, but being hypocritical to the utmost, belonging to the Council of Foreign Relations, the Knights of Malta, murderers, and the Knights of Columbus, murderers, Rhodes Scholars, who are frauds by the oath they take. Virtually useless as generals, because they kowtow and are nothing but mere servants. And they present two faces on a regular basis. You're the ones I'm talking to. I wrote that this morning very early. And I was biting at the bit wanting to tell you about it. That's my message to you. You're disgusting. But for you that have served honorably, we need your help to come out from your retirement and your fishing and Hilton Head cabins or whatever you've got or whatever you're doing or contracting. We need you to tell the truth and stand up for what's right and expose. I don't care if it's your best friend. If he's a Knights of Malta, he is not your best friend. He's your enemy. The cancer that's leading you to the North American Union. Strong words I've used. I don't know if it makes an impact on anybody. Maybe it won't. But doggone it, I feel a weight off my back after I said it. Now, before I jump into the North American Union, which I'm getting ready to do here shortly, I had warned for several years now, regular listeners that are listening, you, well, that would be regular listeners now, wouldn't it? Can confirm it. I warned that your fast-moving airplanes, your warplanes, F-35s, F-15s, whatever, were going to be, or going to have corrupted chips. They're going to mess up the guidance systems. Chinese have corrupted the chips inside your guidance systems. They've given us all through our careers substandard equipment. From the multi-flame launcher M202 back in the 70s, which was worthless, to 9mm handguns that, after 1,000 rounds, would break the slide. Chemical detectors in the 1990s that wasn't to the standard that the Soviet bloc countries would had. They were not defects. They were designed that way to put us at a disadvantage. That was the purpose. Maximum casualties without us knowing about it. So now they've got recently, just like I said, recently the F-35's sensors are plagued by false alarms. That's not a defect. That's being done, designed aggressively, offensively, and they're testing it. Because when you go against the North American Union, if you're a rogue fighter pilot or whatever, they're going to render your plane inactive. They're going to have vets killing vets because of the... It's already happened with Chris Kyle. 26 suicides per day. When are you all going to wake up? When are you generals going to go into Paul Rykoff and say, get your little homesick butt out of there. I'm taking over. Because he's not going to do the job. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's there to slow you down and to kill off our vets by taking no action. And the action they take is worthless. The F-35 is now reporting sensors is plagued by false alarms. It's not accidental. It's not a defect. It's planned that way. They're practicing the takedown when you get a response against the North American Union. And what is this North American Union? Let's call it for what it really is. It's a hostile takeover. There's nothing good about it. Nothing whatsoever. Peace and prosperity is a big lie. It's an end to the rule of law. It's a kind of coup d'etat of the government, the operations of Canada, United States, and Mexico. They're calling for a military takeover of the U.S. government as a good thing. Well, what they did was vilify Obama as he's playing the role of which he's assigned, like a movie, like a TV series. Just like Bush, just like Clinton, just like every single president, except for the ones that's assassinated, they're going to make a difference in a good way. 98% of our presidents were working for the Illuminati. They're all family members anyway. Every single one. All the way back to George Washington. Now, some of you are my new listeners. You're going to think, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. Nope, everything I tell you, I can prove. I just don't have time to go into different proofs right now. Understand that. The Bush family goes back to their heresy, back to 1915. Samuel Bush, Prescott, George Bush, and Junior here. And another evil one, Billy Bob Clinton, Jimmy Carter. Every single one of them have been worthless in our country, working for the North American Union. National Police Force, FEMA, Reagan, every single one of them, Ford, Nixon, one of the worst ones, FDR was on the top of the list, a military takeover of the U.S. government, FDR, 1943, with 10 unions, and for America to join one of the unions in 1943. 43. There's a map that came out to show it. Confirmation with his own quote. A military dictatorship by his own quote. March of 4th, 1939, behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees, written down word for word by Senator Lundeen, gave it to William G. Carr, wrote it, published it in Red Fog Over America, 1955, first edition. I have a copy of it. Family, I don't know what you generals are doing, man, but you better come out of your retirement and start politicking, speaking out. Oh, it's dangerous because you have credibility, but we need you now. It's not about stopping it. It's about slowing it down. It's about causing them trouble. To delay it. To delay it means to give more people opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And just the fact for the principle of just going back at them. Until God says enough is enough and we're in the 7-year tribulation and it's coming. Until then, we're to resist it every step of the way and not armed revolution or overtake of the government. Because family, when they say, like Chuck Baldwin and all these others say we're going to revolt, or Rick Joyner, which I've played the recording of Rick Joyner, Jerome Boykin, have a military coup of the U.S. government, is asinine and complete stupidity. They want you to. Why? To justify martial law. Wasn't that better to have somebody take over? No, because there is nobody. They're evil on both sides. Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta. Slam dunk. Jerry Boykin is a butt buddy. Both are evil to the core. Because they're both the Knights of Malta. And Boykin is elected to a chancellor, appointed to a chancellor level. That's high position. Very high in this Luciferian order of the Knights of Malta. They got something up their sleeves, to say the very least. And Wesley Clark is a Rhodes Scholar. Clinton is a Rhodes Scholar. They take a blood oath just like the Knights of Malta do against you. The first formal step towards the North American Union, working backwards, was NAFTA. Always economic first. Ron Pastor of the Council of Foreign Relations, he affirmed that the Canadian, back in 2006-2007 time frame, that the Canadian Action Party, a federal sovereignist of political party in Canada, began as a party in 1997 and became, well, one of the reasons it became that way was because none of the mainstream parties was calling for the clear, outright, unequivocal, what's the word, abrogation of NAFTA for control of our national monetary system to lay the groundwork. Canada has its own international institute that's equivalent to the CFR. Every country does. You know, the workers in these organizations remain blinded, as of no use to the citizens who care about the nations for the sovereignty, independence, or civil liberties, civil rights, cultures, freedoms. Did you know, right now, I'm talking about destruction of the United States as you know it, destruction of Canada as you know it, in 2006 and 7, right? We know it goes back to 2005, right? No. Between 1924 and 1927, I found research from William G. Carr that what he reports in detail, I have the details, but I'll give you a summary. 1924 to 1927 time frame, before the Great Depression, before a military coup of the U.S. government was going to take place in 1940, And the time they were planning Pearl Harbor, FDR, Churchill, Japanese elite, 24 to 27. Yeah, you heard me right. That same time frame, when everybody's in peace and prosperity, oh, are y'all busy? Yeah. Happy days are here again. We're not worried about nothing. You see what they did? Between 24 and 27, Clapper Girls, happy days are here again, prohibition, etc., etc. Women can smoke. Women freedom. Light up for freedom. Edward Bernays, nephew of Charles of Sigmund Freud. Families all keep us busy while they work behind the scenes. Well, at that same time, there was an investigation in the Canadian Customs and Excise Service and ramifications of illegal traffic and trade and throughout the Dominion of Canada. Well, a Mr. H.H. Stevens, member of the Parliament for Vancouver, they appointed him to be the Royal Commission to investigate it. It was proven, subsequent to investigation of this corrupted Canadian Customs and Excise Service, they found subsequent to that, surprise, surprise, the communists were in control. They had found evidence that proved that there were actually plans to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. And you know, evidence was given before the Royal Commission in the early 1920s during an investigation that revealed the facts of this surprise discovery. And the evidence that went before the Canadian Commission and was swept under the carpet proved that those that directed the conspiracy achieved certain objectives as far as furthering their long-range plans to ultimately destroy Canada and the United States as nations. And that coincided with the present development that I'm talking about today of the North American Union and NAFTA Treaty and the highway. Alleged highway, I might add. And their plans had the following evidence. To affect the national economics by robbing the national treasury departments of hundreds of millions of dollars. And to corrupt, completely corrupt government officials at the very highest levels. Obtain control of both main parties. And to establish in the future the new societies where the wealthiest members made their money by illegal methods, using prostitution, other methods to corral them, to blackmail them, to make them beholden to those who made their successful operations possible, not knowing that they had leverage over them if they went against them. So they made their money, the ones that unknowingly made their money, by illegal methods, things are okay. And so the majority of the newly rich can't help but carry out requests of those who made them rich in the first place. Overnight, in some cases. They didn't realize that the same ones that made them rich overnight could reduce them to poverty just as quickly if they even hesitate to do the bidding. Many they put under blood oaths of Freemasonry. And you know, they obtained high control of government officials, that they even had to adopt a policy regarding international security that permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect these revolutionary plans in the 1920s, heading toward a 1943 North American Union. But to await the day when the day, when international conspirators gave the order to revolt, the government would be taken over in Canada and the United States. And then, one of the most important parts of the evidence, the last one I'll talk about right now, there's more, but I'm going to talk about this last one. They saw to it that enough evidence appeared in the public free press that would disgust the public. In other words, it would give the public the feeling that your governments worldwide would be proven so rotten and evil that any change must be for the best. But now the news reports were set up that would not disclose any connection between international capitalists, the agenda, the globalists, secret society members, who organized this gigantic conspiracy I'm talking about, that they confirmed up in Canada. No connection between them and the subversives in the underworld who put their plan into effect. Family, that's investigation confirmed that. So by 1928, we funded Hitler. By 1929, the Great Depression, man, it all happened. Bonus Army was not given their bonus. See how it worked out? So they really made the veterans really ticked off in D.C. at the Bonus Army march, run them out by bayonet and burned their tents down. So now they're ticked off, a half a million veterans of World War I. General Butler was doing the right thing to lead them together because there's a plot to seize the White House in 1934. But Butler blew the whistle to Congress about the plot to seize the White House in a military coup. He didn't do it. See what they did? And they're trying to do it again today. So when you generals going to pull your head out of your butt and realize you're being jerked around again, know who the enemy is. You have the enemy on both sides, infiltrated both sides once again. Heading toward a North American Union, just like they did in 1943. Man, sometimes for me, this is frustrating as a Dickens. You present it, and it just goes poof, just like that. Well, here we go. So now, it goes back long before 2005. You say, well, if they're going to do it, why didn't they get it done? Family, you all go to church. Anyway. If you're not, if you don't go to church, you got to be an atheist. If you say, well, I go to church, but I do this, that, and the other. Well, why you go to church in the first place? Because you think there's a God, and if you go to church, it might serve that purpose. Yet you do the bad things on the side anyway, so you've got your foot in the grave and one on the ground. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. You can't serve two gods. God or mammon, you got to pick one. Can't serve both. Don't work that way, because that means you're not serving the right one. God of the Bible. So, step two. The second formal step of the North American Union was going to be the integration and subjugation of Canada's military into the United States Military Command under NORAD, NORTHCOM, and the Bi-National Planning Agreement that was their Canadian military was in Afghanistan. NORAD. The third step with the creation of the North American Union was implementation of a respective, well, liberty stripping down of anti-terrorist legislations, Patriot Act, War Powers Act, 1940s, Patriot Act, same thing, different name, Patriot Act, United States, Anti-Terrorist Act in Canada, Veterans Disarmament Act, John Warner, National Defense Authorization Act, nothing more than the War Powers Act. When Nixon is going to try his attempt at a New World Order, at a dictatorship in America, he signed Executive Order 11495. At the same time, he signed Executive Order 11647, 11731. to balkanize, divide the United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, in 1972, February the 12th. So by 1973, you'd have the UN set up to come inside and take over the 10 regions with one governor and one UN administrator by 1974. We'd be a new world order by 1975, or a North American Union. Yeah. So they had to sweep it on the carpet when it didn't happen, and they morphed it into FEMA, transition that you'll find in 2009. It always goes back to Reagan days, but FEMA transition 2009, the published document of FEMA, encompasses the entire plan of Nixon. Word for word, state for state, region for region. All they did was just transfer it over. And complicate it a little bit more, because it got more complicated since 1974. And he was working with a former CIA member called General Cushman of the Marine Corps, a commandant of the Marine Corps, no less. I guess he got a lobotomy too, I don't know. So, in the creation, the third step, creation of the North American Union, was in implementing the Patriot Act in the United States and the Anti-Terrorist Act in Canada to enforce Fortress America. The fourth step in the SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, hostile takeover of the executive branch of the government, a coup d'etat over the government operations of Canada, United States, and Mexico. And the three branches of the democratic governance is legislative arm, policymakers, people you elect. You don't vet them out and see if they're secret society members, you just elect them. The presidents are appointed, never elected. The presidents of the United States all along are appointed with the facade of being elected. This may be exact. That's the truth. I mean, after all, the Electoral College. And then number three of that election part, they are corrupted elections, even by computer. Curtis, a computer programmer, confessed to it. That there's a computer program put in the election process that makes sure the one they want to win, wins. It's that simple. They always vilify the president they're going to get rid of, one reason or another, so that when they appoint the president, there's nobody going to question it. That's exactly what happens every single time. So legislative arm, policymakers. Judicial arm, a judge who interprets and applies the laws created by the policymakers. And the third one is the executive arm, civil service, the bureaucracy who implement and run the policies and operations of the government. If they're secret society members, they have a blood oath. They keep secrets. That's not good. That's bad. Secrets in the government, when they openly admit it, that should give you a red flag right off the bat. What do you think about that? Do you think it would be a problem if they belong to a secret society and admit it and say, well, there are certain secrets I can't tell you all? I mean, really, come on now. And we put up with it. We put up with it. Sometimes I think we deserve what we get. I don't want to go that route because I don't like thinking that way. But doggone it, you know, when are we going to learn? When are people going to stand up, man? In what it means, it might mean some things coming down upon you, but doggone it. We got ourselves in this fix. And it's not going to be pleasant. This North American Union is bad news. Secrets is a sure sign.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go
on. I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322.
First of all, he's not the nominee. Look, I look for.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching. Be safe on the campaign trail. John Kerry,
yes,
thanks
sir.
For joining us. And we'll be right back.
Russert was a trained Jesuit, but he's a good guy. He was up in Buffalo, New York, and he was a honey up there. The good guy up there in Buffalo, New York. But he's trained as a Jesuit. I believe that he was trying to get the word out in the best way he could. His exposing of it in subtle ways continued, even after these interviews. He eventually died of cancer. They killed him, there's no doubt about that. They shut him up. Because he wasn't listening to their warnings. That's how they do things. Russert tried to warn the public. It took him out. There's no doubt. This is how it really works in these here United States. Generals, congressmen, CEOs that pretend to be patriots. And you that are patriots, get away from your Hilton Head cabin, your retirement, and start working. And a revolution is not going to get it. But continuing, the SPP, the North American Union, is a treasonous metamorphosis. And those involved in it, you're being set up for disaster. And even if you had a military takeover of the U.S. government, which is what Rick Joyner was calling for, secret society members would take over. We exchange the pot for the kettle. Will be no different. Americans will lose rights so you can gain rights. It's like, what? Yeah, so you know we got to take some rights away to give you rights. We got to usurp the Constitution. But it's for your own good. What a bunch of baloney. That's your double-minded, double-mouthed talking. But people buy off on it, unfortunately. You know, the shadow government, the FEMA, the military-industrial financial complex was exemplified by the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, who dominated by the U.S. Council of Foreign Relations and U.S. military apparatus. This SPP, or North American Union, was created a competitive council of 10 to 16 people from industry, academy, unelected by citizens, unaccountable to citizens, unrepresented by citizens, in each of the Canadian, USA, and Mexico. They meet with prime ministers and the presidents. They direct the restructuring, the civil service apparatus and governance of Canada, U.S., Mexico. They manipulate the borders to make sure that the Chinese can sneak over, the Muslims can sneak over that are terrorists into the country. Yeah, that's how they're doing it. There's not going to be some kind of invasion of the United States coming from either side. They're already here. They invaded in 1993 as led in by our government, secret society government. The Competitiveness Council would be in Montebello, directing the leaders in August 2007. It finalized the last steps of the North American Union. To give you kind of a quick shot of it, for example, in July the 2nd, in the year 2000, the Mexican president, Vicente Fox, proposed a 20 to 30 year timeline for creation of the coming common North American market. About four months later, Robert Pastor's book, his name comes up again, Toward a North American Community, was published. How much clearer can you get? About a year from there, December 2001, your Homeland Security Secretary, Tom Ridge, and John Manley, who was Deputy Prime Minister in Canada, they signed the Smart Border Declaration. And what it did was it called for a 30-point action plan that would enhance security of the shared border, but it would facilitate a legitimate flow of people and goods. About a year later, September the 9th, 2002, to be exact, President Bush and Prime Minister Chrétien, is that his name? Well, they met to discuss progress in the Smart Border Action Plan. It's kind of an update on the plan produced by the White House on December the 6th, 2002. Now, same year, in December 2002, Colin Powell, he signed an agreement between the United States and Canada to establish a binational agreement on military planning. And moving right along, about a month after that, they expedited. Canadian Council of Chief Executives launched the North American Security and Prosperity Initiative, called the NASPI. And what that did was propose a comprehensive North American strategy that integrated economic and security issues while we all slept. About a year from there, every time's a year, the Council of Foreign Relations, they published Robert Pastor's paper, North American Second Decade. What it did was it advocated the North American integration. About 6 months later, 2004, Canadian-Mexican Partnership, CMP, was launched during the visit of President Fox to Ottawa. Well, went north for a while. A month later, they had an independent task force, by the way, and that was set up to study the future of North America, formed it up. The task force was a trilateral effort charged with the development of a roadmap to promote this North American security and advance the well-being of citizens of all three countries. So they said, it was sponsored by the Council of Foreign Relations. And did you know that on March 23rd, 2005, 6 months later, give or take, old President Bush at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, that time with Vicente Fox of Mexico and Paul Martin of Canada, what they called a summit, the three heads of state drove to Baylor University in Waco. They issued a press release announcing the signing of an agreement that formed the SPP of North America, March 23rd, 2005. 2 months later, you had an independent task force on the future of the North American CFR report. And the title of it was called Creating a North American Community, Chairman's Report, quote. It's about 59 pages long. And what it did was it outlined a five-year plan leading up to the magical date of 2010. And there was establishment of the North American Economic and Security Community. And they had a common outer security perimeter that to achieve the freer flow of people within North America. All this time, they're trying to pass the National ID Act. That's May 17th, 2005. Well, a month later, speed it up. Senate Foreign Relations Chairman Robert Lugar. He had a friendly committee hearing that featured a task force member, Robert Pastor. Robert Pastor gets around. And he revealed further details of a plan for Continental Perimeter, including the Integrated Continental Plan for Transportation and the infrastructure that included new North American highways and high-speed rail corridors. That same month, Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security Secretary, he attended one of the SPP meetings in Ottawa, Canada. He said, I quote, "We want to facilitate the flow of traffic across our borders," unquote. And even the White House issued a press release that endorsed this report, and they called the meeting, I quote, "an important first step in achieving the goals of security and prosperity partnership." That same year, 1 month later, in 2005, the White House announced that it backed a coalition called Americans for Border Economic Security. It's organized by Ed Gillespie. And you know its purpose was to conduct a political-style campaign to sell the American people in a guest worker program. It wrapped up a few border security promises and financed by coalition members who each put up about $50,000 to $250,000. And then they get back together again, the heads of state and prime ministers. After all this, March 31st, 2006, Bush, Fox, and now Stephen Harper, a new one, not Martin, but Harper, they met again in Cancun, Mexico, according to a news release, and they celebrated the first anniversary of the SPP, North American Union. At the same time, Bush demanded that Congress pass an immigration bill with a guest worker permit program. Three months later, 2006, June 15th, SPP, the North American Union, North American Competitive Council, NACC, it consisted of government officials and corporate CEOs from three countries. And what they did, they met to institutionalize the North American SPP partnership and the NACC. The work would continue through the change of administrations. They've been working hard at this. And as you know, that same year, 2006, September the 12th, in Banff, Alberta, Canada, there was a group of present and also at that time period, past elected officials from all three countries. They met with corporate, military, academic, financial, industrial, think tank members, think tanks, in what's called a North American Forum. And that included former Secretary of State Schultz, Rumsfeld, and Robert Pastor, to name a few. Family, that's just scratching the surface of how they've been working behind the scenes, to give you an idea. They're serious. Very serious indeed. While we sleep and sleepwalk. Now, check this out in other areas, other research. It all pans out. And you should know that this government of the people, by the people, generals, that you supposedly fought for, for the people has been eliminated. And those people who've elected, they just stand idly by, sidelines apparently blissfully oblivious, deliberately careless, under blood oath of the Freemasons or whatever, of this termination of their policy, making a roll accept as a rubber stamp. The members just see that they can't change things, so they just join in and sing a song and cook hot dogs and marshmallows around a campfire. That campfire is going to fan the flames. Because the North American Union is sneaking up on you. Now, I've explained it to a certain extent. It is much more detailed, much more exceptional. And you know that we know that a powerful think tank of sort, chaired by former Secretary of Sam Nunn and guided by trustees including Richard Armitage, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Harold Brown, William Cohen, Henry Kissinger of all people, are in the final stages, if not already finished, the report to the White House and U.S. Congress on the benefits of integrating U.S., Mexico, and Canada to one political, economic, and security bloc. It's being done. Zbigniew Brzezinski has got his knickers in about everything. That boy is not pleasant at all. Not in the least bit of sense of word. He's far, far from it. You do know Zbigniew Brzezinski, right? Y'all know about him? Let's let him talk a minute. He was talking to jihad fighters, telling them how great it was going to be, that they were going to take over. And he's going to protect them. They were going to support him. He led them to slaughter. God's on your side, he said to them. They always tell the rebels, we're on your side. That's what he told them back in the 70s.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail, and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again, because your cause is right, and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis would be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as possible.
The same Brzezinski that believed in God also said this.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
That's a reality. That's how it really works. You see, these people control the government for now. I think it's coming to a head. And it's hard to say when God will allow them to actually pull off their North American Union. To bring us to that point, we're the ones holding everything back. They can't move without America being subjugated. And they tried doing that with FDR. He'd already planned it. But he misplanned. See, American Illuminati was told not to rush it, that there's certain things had to take place first. And American Illuminati, the Council of Foreign Relations, has always tried to hurry it up. And there have been groups out there in the European theater, the European Illuminati, been holding them back. Not for good reasons, but just for their own purposes. There's nobody here benevolent except Jesus Christ. You see? But the thing is, they won't win this in the long term. That's something I get through your mind. We're going to go through the fire eventually when this thing kicks off. But family, this is a supernatural war that we're in. This is the bottom line. And the ones at the highest level, they know it. Because they worship Lucifer. Whether you believe in it or not, whether you believe in Lucifer or not, they do. You'd never think that, you know. You think it's all politics, and it's all about religion, it's all about economics and politics. No. This is the setting up of the New World Order based on a Luciferian agenda. Well, the North American Union is the final piece of this puzzle to be put in place. Everybody else is pretty much there. And they planned it this way. This was not some accidental event of America being the last standing bastion. Even, and actually Bill Cooper, when he was in the 1990s, in several radio programs, he had said that America would be the last bastion. Well, the thought might have been that they were the last bastion because we're Christianized and so forth. Well, no, they planned it this way. That's why in the 60s they completely corrupted our education, our military, our economics, everything. All in one decade. By design. To change the thinking of the baby boomers. In a shockwave of the 1960s. That's what that was all about. To reduce the longevity of the baby boomers born in 1945 to 1953-54, because they carried the values of the quiet generation of the family structure to the baby boomers would carry to their children. So now we've talked about reducing the sovereignty, reducing the patriotism, reducing the religious dogmas, and all that at the age of five. See, that's what they went to work on in education. Every generation, XYZ. This is planned through Tavistock. This is amazing. Getting you ready. You baby boomers, just die out, go away, and be quiet. XYZ, now, you ready to accept the North American Union? They test you out to see where you are. To see if you're ready to accept it. What's called the Hegelian dialectics of false flags. Ferguson, Bundy Ranch. These events are set up to test if you're going to march. If you're still patriotic, family Soros funded Wall Street March, Occupy Wall Street. He funded Ferguson March to test it out, you see. This is amazing stuff when you really get into it and you really study it. But you watch for signs and symbols. You watch for their plans, how they come out of their checklist. Now, yesterday I said, as I've been saying all along, that the national police force. They got to have one. Now, some of your theologians that are on the radio, they're not getting it. Your revolutionary, I call them pastors, they get up there and give political speeches instead of what they should be doing, lead people to Jesus, like your Chuck Baldwins and others that are doing political speaking. They have no business doing political speaking. None of you pastors out there supporting the New World Order, led by FEMA, should be telling everybody should do everything the government tells you. And the ones that's doing it, so don't do anything the government tells you. There's a middle ground here. Do what the government tells you to do when it's in order of that given to Caesar. But when it goes against God's plans, God's commandments, then you refuse to do it. But nowhere there, nowhere, to talk about armed revolution. It will never work. The root group that does the armed revolution and takes over is nothing more than another despotic group of Freemasons or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, etc. That's all that's going to happen. That's the problem. And the Romans 13 stands. Well, the National Police Force, where's it coming from? I mean, the pastors today that are preaching this political message are saying, don't worry about it. That's Russian, isn't it? No. They don't have enough people to take all the weapons. Really? See, those don't know what the dickens they're talking about. They don't have no idea about the UN. Mexican troops that are trained, highly trained by our own CIA. MPRI, who knows whoever else. Canadian troops, Russian troops, Chinese, Singapore, who's flying jet aircraft from Idaho. Yes, sirree, Bob, they're training up there. The Park Service, that's got those felons assigned to it. Yep. We're going to come out of the woodwork. These pastors don't know that, apparently, or they're part of it. There's not enough military. Yeah, they're sent out to 150 countries. Get them out of the country. Military, veterans, look out. When you go over there and they sign this military takeover of the U.S. government, you're going to want to come back to your families and protect them, right? Well, they're going to tell you to get on the planes. And before you get on the planes, they're already set the presidents for it. You got to turn in your weapon. We got to leave fast. Turn in your weapons. Destroy them. Get on the plane. Let's get out of here. Well, here's what they're going to do. Is you get on a plane after you destroyed your personal weapons, and then you land in that country that's supposed to be safe haven, you'll be surrounded by the host nation's military and taken in custody. That's what they plan on doing. They got a military scattered, they'll be taken over by the countries that they're operating from or killed. Over here, the UN, nation states and nations will come out of the woodwork as martial law. And that's their plan. Using the street gangs as the reason for chaos. They'll start the killing and culling of the street gangs. They don't know that yet. Their carrot is you have carte blanche, do whatever you want. Don't worry about the law. You're not going to have it. Well, that's not true. When they declare martial law, they start killing them off. They weren't told this yet. It's going to happen. Well, the National Police Force are going to come out of felons. Come out of the prisons. College-educated felons. Trained in the Christian Identity Program. Blackwater. ADL. Getting jobs in physical security as they come out. Jobs at Park Service. Federal armed security, various facilities. And when the call comes, they'll just change uniforms and become a national security, national police force. We just won't let that happen. We'll fight to the last man. Did you know that in 1948, Norbert Wiener published a book called Cybernetics. And 1948, there's that doggone 48 again, right before 50. How about that? As defined as a neurological communication and control theory already that was used in small circles at that time. Yonajay Masuda, he is father of the Information Society, he stated his concern in 1980 that our liberty is threatened by an Orwellian style of cybernetic technology, unknown to most people even today. And that technology linked the brains of people by a implanted microchip to satellites controlled by ground-based supercomputers. They'll launch satellites right before this happens also. Yeah, buddy, they will. And you know the first brain transplant was surgically inserted? Implant. First brain implant devices in 1974. I've given y'all several studies already. Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwetzbell, one of them from Harvard, Jose Delgado, implants, voice-to-skull technology, mind control, neurological control. Is in the state of Ohio and also in Stockholm, Sweden. 1974 was the first implant. You had brain electrodes was inserted into the skulls of babies in 1946, and that was without the knowledge of their parents. In 1950s and 1960s, you had electrical implants was inserted in the brains of animals and humans. And especially in the United States, during research into the behavior modification and brain-body functioning, mind control, these methods were used in attempts to change human behavior, attitudes, influencing brain functions, and became an important goal of military and intelligence services. As a matter of fact, when the study was done in 1971, Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwetzbell, they actually called it, is out of Harvard, the study was. I'm not going to go in detail, but they could hear voices, them talking, and how electrical shock device inserted in the body that would be activated to train them not to be homosexual. That was the trick of the trade, no pun intended. And the study was called Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders, unquote. 92-page monograph, and I have a copy of it. I've read it. Miniature radio transmitter implanted to brain and body. Monitor, transmit conversations, locations, even the sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day. And with it had electrical shock device inserted into the body. Well, in 1973, there was an NSA engineer that suggested that 20 million Americans should receive these devices for testing purposes. Oh, man, I tell you what. That Holy Spirit confuses him every time. You know, around 30, 35 years ago or so, there was a brain implant that showed up in x-rays the size of 1 centimeter. And other implants shrunk to the size of a grain of rice, and they were made of silicon, later still of gallium arsenide. Today, they're small enough to be inserted in the neck. Oh, small enough into the neck, into the back, also intravenously by vaccines. Different parts of the body, and that during surgical operations. And it's with or without the consent of the subject. It's almost impossible to detect or remove them. Well, I know for a fact from a veteran I spoke to about last week. He said, well, I got back from Iraq. Well, when I went to Iraq, he said I was given 28 vaccines. He said, you know, there's one of them that's really curious. I asked him, I said, what's that? He said, well, They give me, you know, in the butt and the arms and all that. He said, but one of the shots stuck in the back of my neck. I about dropped my coffee cup. Family, that was a chip. They put in your bloodstream. It goes through your bloodstream. It's nanobot technology. And lodges itself in the brain. It stays there. That's used to deliver the voice-to-skull technology, the ELF waves and transmission to change the body structure and reactions. And the person doesn't even know it. 26 suicides per day. I wonder. Well, I'm not wondering. I'm just getting you all to wonder. Now you see what's being orchestrated? You know, it's technically possible for every newborn to be injected with a microchip, which would then function to identify the person for the rest of their life. And you know that such plans like this have secretly been discussed in the U.S. without any public airing of the privacy issues involved in Sweden. Prime Minister Olof Palme, he gave permission in 1973 to implant prisoners. It's what we did here in America. The one I've just read you about, Schwetzabel. Those were homosexual felons to test it out. Every time they get a, well, she would say a raise, here comes an electrical shock, like Pavlov's dog and the bell, except this was electrical shock. So if a homosexual got a little bit feisty, they could identify it on devices anywhere in the world and deliver electrical shock to dissuade him from having those thoughts. Certainly no action after getting shocked with electrical with a taser in your body. That was in 1973. Can you imagine what they can do now? These implanted human beings can be followed anywhere. And the brain functions can be remotely monitored by supercomputers and even altered through the changing of frequency vibration. And I've reports said that guinea pigs in secret experiments have included prisoners, soldiers, mental patients, handicapped children, deaf, dumb, blind, homosexuals, single women, the elderly, school children, any group of people that's considered marginal by the elite experimenters. You had some prisoners in Utah, state prison, for example, were that they did these experiments on. Now you see where the military comes in with this. Now, when I told you all, I want to emphasize something, that these felons are trained in the Christian Identity Program. Well, this Christian Identity movement, I use it quite a bit, it seems. It's a name that applies to a lot of different religions, cults, identified by racist, anti-Semitic principles. Now, these cults are found among radically anti-government extremist right-wing groups, survivalist groups, and so forth. Some of them mean well, but they're in a group that's controlled by the hierarchy. They are infiltrated, and they're controlled, that a lot of members don't know. They're connected by theological similarities. There are preachers and pastors of them, are well-trained in corrupting the Bible. They're very outspoken, they're very convincing, and they're very good at mind manipulation, psychological manipulation. They have unbiblical theological similarities, centered on white supremacist mindsets, seeks to replace national Israel with British or American whites as chosen people of God. And you know, the largest Christian Identity movement group is the infamous KKK and Aryan Nation. And they'll talk about their leaders like Nathan Bedford Forrest. Why? So what? He became born again supposedly at the end of his life somewhere there. I question that anyway, but before that, they helped create the KKK. You don't give lectures on Nathan Bedford Forrest, you give lectures on Jesus. Not some Confederate rebel or whatever. That's killed Indians, killed blacks. This guy's bad news. If he repented, well, that's between him and God. But what they do that for is to raise up that nationalistic attitude to foment revolution. That's why they bring it up. And you have other groups similar to theology, the Christian Identity Movement, British Israelism, which is kind of a milder type philosophy that gives rise to the Christian identity theology, which is more hardcore. And Kinism. K-I-N-I-S-M. But this Christian identity, oh boy. It's more racist. There's many other differences as well. And they believe that the end of the world is going to be preceded by a cleansing war, a cleaning war. An army will do the cleansing. No, Jesus Christ will. They don't believe that. And all non-whites will be exterminated. Well, you've got Farrakhan that says all whites are going to be exterminated. See, these guys work together and don't even know it to set up civil war. So that you have chaos, then they'll come in and say, now you guys just hug and make better, make good. We all want to come together in a new world order and a North American Union. No more fighting. They throw that other part in. That's what they're doing. Order out of chaos. Some of these people don't even know this. Christian identity, all whites will be exterminated. The black Muslims, like Farrakhan, think the whites will be exterminated. Christian identity, the blacks will be exterminated. They will fight each other to bring order. FBI is heavily infiltrated in these groups to make sure they fight. You know, the history and activities of the Christian Identity Movement are extensive. It goes way back, Civil War, pretty much. But there's two main perversions of Christian doctrine that's led these followers to some wrong conclusions about the world and about God. They're famous for the idea that British, and by extension Americans, Canadians, and others, are the spiritual and literal descendants of the 10 tribes of ancient Israel, which is bogus. And they believe that the white race is represented, God's chosen people. That's bogus. And belief that founded a creative interpretation of migratory history, but not based on fact at all. Jews stayed there. They didn't come around in America. The Bible tells us that God will restore Israel as a nation. He's going to take it down first, Hagee. But then he's going to restore it back with real Hebrew Jews. The fellowship with him after protecting them from many nations is going to come against them that are following Jesus. The Jews that are following Jesus will be protected. The Jews that's not will be taken out. And you know, it's clear from the Bible that the nation of Israel will be made of the same ethnic people group that are responsible for Christ's death, namely the Jews. Zechariah 12, verse 10. The United States is not the New Jerusalem. And you know, the second unbiblical belief by the Christian identity is that the end times and return of Christ must be ushered in by a genocidal war. Now you see what's going on? Interestingly enough, this belief fits more closely with the teaching of Islam than of Christianity. And being that Islam was created by the Vatican anyway, you can see where they're pulling the strings. Yeah, 6th century. Christ will return to set up his kingdom, and without the aid of mankind. They got their people so messed up, and you can't get across to them much. You know, there's no biblical reason to believe that non-white races will ever be eliminated by the hand of God as the true followers. It's nonsense. The New Jerusalem in heaven will house all nations and kings of the earth, bring glory to the honor to the nations in it. I found a lot of them actually believe that Satan, Samuel, had sex with Eve, Genesis 4:1. That's also nonsense, that Cain was the offspring of Satan and Eve. Abel was the offspring of Adam and Eve, and his fraternal twins. All kinds of nonsense they come up with. Well, the felons in penitentiaries before they're released to be members of the national police are trained in Christian identity. It'd be your new SS. That's not good. Hitler used former felons. He had movies about it even. See, they always use movies to get us all geared up for it. Dirty Dozen. They always use movies. Tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Like one segment of America had a military taken over, Russian military taking over Congress, killing everybody in there and burying it to the ground. A lot of what they tell you in movies and TV is actually true. It's just preparing you mentally for it. But what people don't realize is America is going to be a killing field when this thing kicks off. Nobody's going to be safe. Family, judgment is coming to this earth. Judgment is coming to America. Martin Luther King warned us about it. To humble ourselves before God. I don't have time to play his speech, but it's inspiring. He warned us. Martin Luther King did. JFK warned us. They all try to warn us, but nobody listens. I bet they do have a cabin in Hilton Head where they play golf, spending a crazy $200 a day. Bet they got that going on. Bet they do brief and membership of the Council of Foreign Relations. I bet they do that too. Family, Jesus Christ is coming back to this planet. In his time only, this generation, next generation, who knows? That's his business, not ours. Our business is to go about to bring others to Jesus, to bring the truth out where it's not being brought out, to prepare people day to day what's going on around the world and around your country. And the North American Union is what Nancy Schaefer is going to stop. We're to go against them no matter what, no matter how strong they may seem. Because God may just say, okay, and delay it another generation, giving others opportunities to accept Jesus as their Savior. That's the bottom line, family. Now today, you know, I briefly covered, briefly, the North American Union to show you there's times, there's dates, there's people, there's places, what they've been working at steadily, about the National Police Force that they got to have because they getting rid of the old one. They got to show how bad it is. Shooting animals, shooting your family pets, shooting people unarmed. Isn't it terrible? Yes, it's terrible. So we got to have a national police force. That's how they do it, you see. And you'll want it, too. Family, Jesus has it all well in hand. And when he says enough is enough, there's nothing they can do to stop it. Judgment will come down upon them. And for you to take Jesus as Savior, he'll bring you home or protect you. We're coming down to it, family. We're really close. Well, remind you, my broadcast and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. John Kirkler up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. My website, oh, by the way, he's got sponsors up there. And you can go on his website, and in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, if you live there, find out what sponsors are near you and use them. Give him a good word. Help support him or something, whatever you come up with. But for me, he just plays my broadcasts and Bible studies randomly, another way to get out. I'm also on TalkStream Live. You can watch me, listen to me there. or my website, watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com. Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Simple as that. Family, we're at the end of the program. It is the 13th of March, 2005 at 15. Keep your eyes on that Hadron Collider. Portal opener, I call it. Family, all God's got to do is change the frequencies. Destroy that thing in a heartbeat. They don't have a prayer. No pun intended. But something's coming, family. Something's coming. Don't be surprised. Just get ready when some changes take place. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Through him you're saved and no other. Just remember that. Because it'll come down to it. Don't just get around to it. Take him as your Savior now and get with it. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And I'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study. Or Monday, 4 to 6, hitting the ground running. We'll just keep on going. I want to cover next week a little bit of the extraterrestrial deception. And expose that next week, along with everything else I can. Have a good night. God bless all of you. And have a great weekend. Be safe. We'll see you tonight or next week, Monday, 4 to 6. Tonight, 8 to 9. This is your Watchman. Signing off.
Confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day to the end.